Would you stand for the reading of the gospel this morning? It comes to us from where you would expect, Luke's gospel, the second chapter, first 20 verses, and then a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And then from Matthew chapter 2, first couple of verses. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." It's the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. God gave me a sign this week, and I almost missed it. I hadn't explicitly asked for one, and it wasn't anything particularly profound. I wasn't facing a major decision and needed some kind of clear divine guidance in some direction. I wasn't having a major faith crisis and needed some definitive proof that I could keep believing. I was just having one of those weeks in life that we all have along the way. We had to let go of our nearly 18-year-old dog. Our baby daughter graduated from college, is getting married on Saturday, moving to California a couple of weeks after that. The old truck we drove for 17 years and raised our children in finally died. I think God knew it was just one of those weeks. I thought, it's a good thing my wife didn't leave me. I had to quit preaching and write country songs, right? My dog died, my truck broke, my baby left, my wife's gone. God knew I just needed a little sign this week. My sign came in the mail. Kind of appropriate, I thought. My daddy was a mail carrier. The reason I almost missed it is, for all practical purposes, it was one of those many Christmas cards that we get in the mail. A perk of being a pastor is, over the years, you meet a lot of people, and so you get a lot of Christmas cards, which we love. I was opening up one of a stack of them that came that day, probably 10 or so, and I was kind of opening them rapid fire, taking a look, opening the next, taking a look. I pulled out one, I glanced at the picture, and it was like so many of the Christmas cards I get these days, a picture of this beautiful young family, mom, dad, children, dog. At the bottom it said, "Merry Christmas from the Hawthorns." And I was thinking, Hawthorns, Hawthorns, Hawthorns. I'm racking my increasingly forgetful brain. And to what I assume was one of the many new young families we're blessed here in the church. You know? And all of a sudden I just couldn't place it. And before I looked more closely again at the picture that I had glanced at,
I flipped over to the back of the card, and it said, "Love, Casey, and Bo, and Jackson." I thought, Bo Jackson, that's good, isn't it? "And Eli, and Bacon, the dog." And somewhere between a smile and tears, I knew that was my sign from God. We met Casey about 26 years ago. She was 11 years old, I think, at the time. She stole our hearts. After several years, we moved on to another church. And one day I got a call from her family, 5 years or so later, asking her to come back. Casey, they said, was sick. She was 16. She was anorexic. She was on the brink of death. That little girl that stole our heart was now breaking it. Somehow, by the miraculous grace of God, she got healed and she got well. Another 10 years or so passed, and they called again one day and said, "Can you come back? Casey's getting married." I can tell you a few brides that ever walked down an aisle that I watched walking down brought more joy to my heart, because one time I never thought I'd see her in a wedding dress. We stayed in touch off and on through the years, but I haven't heard from her in quite a while. We got busy, moved to a new place. She moved far away. But on Monday, out of the blue, there she was on the front of that card with her husband and those two beautiful children and their dog. Those children that the doctor said back then she probably would never have. And I knew that was my sign. There were no clouds that parted, no audible voices. I think God just knew I needed a little something. And Casey will probably never know how God could use what is one of, I'm sure, dozens of those cards that she sent out to different people to speak to someone's heart. But as far as I'm concerned, that day this week, he did. Now, I know it's easy to be skeptical of such experiences. You could call it a coincidence. After all, it's not like I never got a Christmas card from Casey over the years. When it comes to signs from God, timing is everything. And so is faith. What means little at one moment in life can mean everything at another. What slips by us barely noticed one day can slap us in the face on another. And faith? Well, faith is the eye of our hearts that enables us to see an ordinary event in our ordinary life as a sign from God. I mean, if you think about it, we all get adept at reading signs in our particular fields of expertise. The investor reads economic signs and trends and market signs. The doctor reads symptoms and data from diagnostic tests. The baseball hitter reads the little idiosyncrasies of a pitcher that might give away what pitch is about to come. My mama, who's here today, Mama, she swears one of her dogs can talk. I just think she knows how to read the signs. What I'm getting at is that we probably all only see the subtle signs that God gives us in life if we're looking for them, in the middle of the ordinary stuff. See, I think because God is invisible and inaudible, at least it's been my experience, He uses signs a lot instead. Mostly ordinary stuff. Though on occasion He does the miraculous. I mean, I know in the Bible Moses asked for a sign. He got a burning bush and a stick that could turn into a snake, and his hand turned into leprosy when he put it in his cloak, as if he wanted that one. Gideon, you remember, got that fleece that was dry when all the grass was wet with dew, and then he got the fleece that was wet when all the grass was dry. And Jonah got swallowed by a whale, which I'm sure is hard to ignore. But if you think about it, even that could be called ordinary. If you get thrown overboard in the middle of the ocean, there's a good chance something's going to eat you. It's the being spit out on the shore 3 days later that gives you a clue it's a God thing. But most of God's signs were much more subtle. Remember Elijah giving up, dejected, hiding in a cave in the wilderness, and there was a fire, an earthquake, great storm, big, destructive, natural phenomenon, but God wasn't in any of those things. But then it said there was the sound of sheer silence in that wilderness place. The still small voice, it's sometimes translated. And Elijah knew it was God. It was just an ordinary feeling in his heart that day was far more than ordinary. Few stories in the Bible have more signs from God than the Christmas story. Joseph has a dream. Wise men see a star. Shepherds got a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. But really, if you think about it, all those are very ordinary things, right? I read somewhere there are an estimated 70 billion stars. On any given night, the naked eye can see about 4,500 stars in the sky. So what's one more star? Unless you're looking for it. And dreams? We dream every night. But what's one more dream unless we're listening to it? And the birth of a baby? I mean, I don't know how many babies were born in Bethlehem in the first century, but today about 250 babies are born every minute. That's 360,000 babies a day, about 127 million babies a year. But many of you know a baby can sure be a sign. And if you're a shepherd, the reality is you were probably far more likely to see a baby born in a stable than you were to see one born in a palace. I'm just saying in the context of our everyday lives, God gives us signs, but if we aren't looking for them, and if we aren't listening to them, it is more likely than not we'll miss them. These signs point us to what God is doing around us. They remind us when we need to be reminded, God is near, God is listening, God knows, God cares about us. In a way, the story of Christmas is the story of the greatest sign of all. A seemingly ordinary baby was born to an ordinary couple in a nondescript town. He grew up in a tiny village, the son of a carpenter. He eventually became a traveling preacher and teacher and healer and exorcist that garnered a bit of attention in a small little corner of the world. He managed to get himself crucified by a job-scared despot in the far reaches of the Roman Empire. But a startled group of his followers claimed he'd been raised from the dead. His followers said the man himself was the sign. His life was a message that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that everyone who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And now here we are, 2,000 years later, and about a third of the 8 billion people on this planet have seen and heard enough of a sign that we've come to believe that those followers were right, that God came to us in a baby born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, that God is with us, that God loves us. And so here we are today, a long way and a long time removed from Bethlehem, remembering dreams and stars and a baby lying in a manger as a sign from God. When you think about signs, some signs are directional. They tell us where to go. Jesus said, I am the way. Follow me. I'll show you where to go. I am the sign. Other signs, you know, are informational. They tell us something that we might need to know. Some people said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, when you see me, you'll know the Father. I am the sign. Whether informational or directional, we pass by signs all the time. A lot of them we don't really notice because we're headed somewhere else, or we don't think it's something we need to know right now. But if we're looking, and we do see them, every sign we see out there leaves us with a choice, you know. Joseph had a dream. He had to make a choice. Wise men saw a star. They had to make a choice. Shepherds saw a baby. They had to make a choice. And so do you and I. Have you ever needed a sign? Ever needed something to point you in the right direction? Something to reassure your heart that you're not alone? That God is with you? That God loves you? Well, look around. Look around today and tomorrow. It may be right in front of you. It may be in the sunrise you didn't want to be up to see after a long, restless night with little sleep. It may be just a song you hear on the radio you haven't heard in a while. Or a child who crawls up in your lap when you need to be up and doing something. But if we're looking with the eyes of our hearts, we just might see it as a sign from God. Monday night, our good friend and Wesley member, Ellie Tardiff, sits right down here early service every week. She took her little dog out to walk. It was late. Ellie lives alone. The back steps of her house were whipped. She slipped and fell. She broke her arm and her leg. She couldn't get up. She didn't have a phone. She cried out for help, but it was late, late. It just so happened that a neighbor that lives a couple of houses down was headed to the airport to pick up their daughter, who was flying in at 12:30 a.m. only because she'd been rerouted by a power outage at the Atlanta airport. In other words, what I'm saying is they should not have been out that night. They weren't supposed to be out that night, but they were. Hearing the noise, not even recognizing what it was, they went to investigate. They found Ellie. Now, you can call it luck. You can call it a coincidence. Or you can call it a sign. I can tell you what Ellie thinks. I can tell you what I think. Today, we gather at this table. It is a sign. Bread and cup. Body and blood. This is how much He loves us. Maybe you need that sign today. Amen. Amen.